WTO has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. The WTO has got to go, hey, hey, ho, ho. The WTO has got to go, hey, hey, ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. Seattle, 1999, the WTO. To make it easier to borrow from tomorrow. The people faced an army and the people's voice was strong. We will not support a system making money from what is wrong. Whose world?
Our world.
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Whose life?
Our life.
Oh, hey, hey, ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. Face to face their soldiers with tear gas in our eyes. Democracy was dying and the people realized. The multinational ruling class, WTO, conspiring against us. Well, now they have to go. This is what democracy looks like.
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 This is
what democracy looks like.
It's time to make a stand. The farmers, the unions, Earth First and First Nation.
Seattle showed the world that we're a force for celebration.
Oh, hey, 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 ho, 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 ho. The WTO has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, 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 ho. The WTO has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, 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 ho. The WTO has got to go. Ho, ho, ho. Hey, hey, hey.
No power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. There ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
Everybody!
There ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
Keep it up!
There ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
There ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
Here we go!
There ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
Don't stop!
There ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
We're with it!
There ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
Listen to Mr. and Mr. Finn on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and we're lucky to be joined by Caroline Lucas today from the Green Party and MEP for the South East region. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for coming on the show, it's really great.
Thanks for having
me. So that track was called what was it called?
Seize the Day.
Yeah, Seize the Day.
It's by Seize the Day, and it's called The WTO Has Got to Go, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a pretty good, good opening to the show. So... yeah, this show's really not so much about getting to the nitty-gritty of green politics, but more about hearing about the kind of fluffier side of side of life in the Green Party and in the environmental movement as a whole. And we're kind of thinking that maybe this show's a bit like what would you have on your iPod if you were you had your arms linked around a live shipment of calves going off to be slaughtered somewhere, or sitting up a tree. What would you have on your iPod? So that was the first track, and you put together a nice little list for us. But why is that song important to you?
Well, I spent many years lobbying against the WTO, the World Trade Organization. Mm-hmm. Before I was elected to the European Parliament, I worked for Oxfam in their in their policy department, specifically looking at trade policy and the impact of trade policy on the poorest countries. And really, however you look at it, the WTO is pretty much the villain of the piece. So I liked about it was that there was that fantastic song. And it, for me, reminds me of the famous Battle of Seattle, which was when people power really did come to the fore, and we managed to close down the WTO meeting in Seattle, which was an amazing moment, really. And I think a lot of the kind of anti-globalisation movement really stemmed from that triumph of closing down that WTO.
Yeah, there's been some, I guess there's not always such a glorious view of those demonstrations. I mean, if you watch mainstream media, that they're portraying that as something much more anarchic than you get to see people smashing windows and all of the rest. But the flip side of it is actually something much much more uplifting than that, isn't it?
You're right. I mean, the media will always focus on the broken window, and I'm not an advocate, certainly not, of breaking windows, but the vast majority of people, both at that demonstration and so many of these demonstrations, are actually very committed people who care deeply about the impact of our current economic system on environment development, on people around the world. And, you know, they've got some very clear messages, and those messages, I think, make more and more sense, you know, as time goes on and you recognise that, you know, as the financial crisis itself shows, really, that the economic system that we have is pretty fragile and based on sand in many ways.
Yeah, definitely. So you've got a nice little list of tracks here. I was thinking that what would be quite a nice one to follow up would be Nina Simone, Let It Be. Let It Be Me, which is a lovely track. What's important about that to you?
Well, this is just unashamed romanticism, I'm afraid. This was this was the song that that I associate with my husband Richard, and this was sort of the song that was our song, is our song, and I just love it. It's just, I mean, I love her voice. Oh, it's so deep. It's just like bathing in honey. It's beautiful.
Yeah, she takes a track that somebody else's and then makes it her own.
Absolutely,
doesn't she?
Yeah, it's a lovely track.
So let's listen to that.
God bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you. And so I beg you, let it be. Take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone now and forever, let it be me. I find complete love. Without your sweet love, what would life be?
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've not heard that Nina Simone track.
Have you
before.
Not?
No. It's lovely to hear. It's great.
It is. So yeah, we were just talking in the while that we were listening to that about that place that you get to when you become immersed in all of the sort of green issue, environmental issues, and justice, and how crushing that can be, and I'm not quite sure how I personally deal with that. I can get quite crushed by it, but. I mean, I was looking at all of the things on your website. I was looking at all of the issues that you're involved in. It's like, oh my God, that's just a recipe for just getting crushed on a daily basis. I mean, so how do you get by that?
Well, I guess that you you get some successes along the way, I suppose, is one thing.
Sure.
And those are important to celebrate as you still recognise the magnitude of the challenge still ahead.
Mm.
And it is about just the fantasticness of the people that are working alongside you, actually. I think that's what keeps you going.
Sure.
I mean, there are just such wonderful people in all of these social and environmental movements, people who are just so committed, but also such fun. You know, sometimes people come over, don't they? The impression is that we're all terribly worthy. And of course we are, but but it is actually about having fun along the way. You know, there's that phrase, wasn't there, if you're not going to dance the revolution, if it's not going to be fun at the revolution, then they're not going to be part of it. And I think it is what keeps me going, certainly, is just the fantastic people that are working around you, because you do get overwhelmed by it. I mean, a huge, huge challenge every day. But those people just really make it all fantastic.
Mm. And if you get in of a night and you're crushed, I mean, what would you put on to sort of liven yourself up?
Well, we're going to hear actually probably John Shibadura and the Tembo Brothers. I'm amazed that you found them on wherever you found them, which is great. But we actually had these people to our wedding.
It was a legal download.
I didn't hear that.
No, not illegal. It was legal.
Oh, it was legal. Yeah. Oh, good. No, we actually had these people at our wedding, which is fantastic. We had a wedding party in Oxfordshire almost 20 years ago now. And this is a band from Zimbabwe, and they came and played at the wedding. And what was wonderful was that everybody from age 3 up to age 93 were dancing. And it just is such uplifting music.
Danceable.
I love it.
Okay, let's listen to that.
Thank you. Maribaba, Maribaba, oye, Maribaba, oye, Maribaba, mabata zapanyika. Maribaba, Maribaba, oye, kuti wenzira rufu, pamwene zvirwere, marimakataza. Maribaba, Maribaba, oye, kuti wenzira rufu, pamwene zvirwere, marimakataza. Maribaba, Maribaba, oye, kana paine rufu, hapana anombofara, marimakataza. Maribaba, Maribaba, oye. Maribaba, oye.
Yeah, that would have. Hopefully, that'll have people shuffling around the kitchen.
Yeah, definitely.
Busy with the washing up, yeah. And put a grin on their face. And that's sort of kind of, you know, what we're saying, that, you know, that a happy life and a fun life doesn't have to be about consumption. It can be, you know, well, it isn't about consumption. It's about community and all of those other things that generally make us happy, our personal.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely right. And I think one of the things that I find most frustrating about so many of the environment debates at the moment is that they're always framed in terms of, you know, what have you got to give up and what can't you do? And it's all about hair shirts and, you know, and to me, that's not what the debate about is at all. And for example, just now when climate change is at the top of the political agenda, one of the things I find most frustrating is that the policies that we need to address climate change are precisely ones that are going to make our lives better anyway. Yeah. A massive investment in public transport, for example, making it cheaper, more affordable, more comfortable, more reliable. What's not to like about that?
Absolutely. You know,
energy efficiency, making our homes much more energy efficient, keeping your bills down. You know, I mean, this stuff is stuff that we need. I really find it very perplexing that people always want to see it as something negative.
And we've got a great tune to follow up, which is Will You Love Me Tomorrow, and it just made me think that, like, you know, our politicians are so worried about making sort of changes that they think that people won't love them tomorrow, but it's kind of
and there's a real lack of conviction politics, I think, around today. And I think people actually do respect it, even if they don't agree with you. I think they like to know that you believe in what you're saying, and you're not just worrying about the latest opinion poll and what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. So what got you into politics in the first place?
For me, it was CND, the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament. It was in the sort of early 80s at the time when Greenham Common was still there. And there was a real concern and a very sort of real sense, in a way, that we were on the edge of potentially a nuclear catastrophe. Yeah. And that was very motivating for me. So I was very much involved in sort of going up to Greenham Common and being part of lots of the anti-nuclear campaigns and protests and so forth. Mm. And then I read a book by Jonathan Porritt called Seeing Green. Mm. And I vividly remember where I was. I was in a rather nasty bedsit in Clapham. And I finished reading it, and it was just one of those moments when a light bulb goes on in your head, and I just sort of saw how so many of the things that I was interested in, the women's movement, the environment movement, the anti-nuclear movement, were deeply connected. And what he does with that book is to put it in a sort of a rigorous political package. Mm. And I turned the book over as I finished it, and I saw that it said that the Green Party office was in the Clapham High Road. So I thought, well, this is wonderful. Here I am, the Clapham bedsit, and the Green Party office is just down the road. So I marched. Exactly. So I marched up and down the Clapham High Road looking for the large offices that I assumed would be belonging to the Green Party with a nice plaque outside. Couldn't find anything. Eventually, after about an hour, I sort of stumbled across a tiny little broom cupboard behind a Chinese laundry.
It was somebody else's bedsit.
It was smaller than my bedsit. And that was the Green Party office. So I joined up there and then.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well done. So, this is for all of those politicians who are worried about making the changes at Copenhagen.
I've never thought of this song as a political song before, I must say, but there we are. Everything's
Will
political.
You Love Me Tomorrow.
Is this a lasting treasure? Or just a moment's pleasure? Can I believe the magic of your sight? Will you still love me tomorrow?
Listening to Mr. and Mr. Finn on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and in studio today we have Caroline Lucas from the Green Party, leader of the Green Party in fact, and MEP for the South East region. That album has been, that's lived with me for pretty much most of my adult life, that classic picture of Carole King and a cat sitting on the windowsill. I don't know, I can play that album over and over again. It's a great track. So, and look on the next track up is Painted Black by the Rolling Stones. So what's all that about then?
I thought we'd change the tempo a little bit, just in case people are getting lulled into too much of a lazy time. Painted Black, I mean, it's a fantastic song from the Rolling Stones, but what it means for me as well, just more recently, is that I've got two sons, and of a Saturday night we would sit in front of the TV and watch that programme that Andrew Lloyd Webber was involved in, where people were choosing the Joseph, the person they wanted to play Joseph in the musical in London. And the guy that got the role, Lee Mead, I think one of the reasons that he got it was the fantastic version he did of this.
Okay.
I mean, I've gone back to the Rolling Stones one because that really is the great one. But it just reminds me, too, of lazy Saturday nights sitting in front of it.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
I say lazy. In fact, we were sitting on the edge of our chairs wondering who was going to win and really kind of rooting for Lee Mead. He was great.
Yeah, so how old are your boys?
They are 13 and 16.
Okay, so they're kind of exhibiting that kind of Kevin thing.
Well, usually for only about sort of 24 hours at a time, and then they kind of come out of it again, so it's all right. No, they're very patient. They're very great. They're patient with their mum, really.
Excellent. So Rolling Stones, Painted Black.
cars and they are painted black, with flowers and my love hope never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away, like a newborn baby, it just happens every day. I look inside myself and see my heart is black. I see my red door, I must have it painted black. Maybe then I'll fade away and not have to face the facts. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black. No more will my green seagull turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you. Up into the setting sun, my love will laugh with me before the morning comes. I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes.
Black, Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it was a Vietnam War film for me.
Yeah, not yeah. It's really weird how you just kind of get, well, they just, songs get hijacked by adverts and movies. Yeah. But yeah. And how did you come to that one?
Well, I guess I would have first heard it echoing down the landing from my sister's bedroom, because she's 9 years older than me,
so
I would have been sort of 6 or 7, I guess, when it came out.
Okay.
And she would have been well into it at that point.
Yeah,
so it was just part of a world that seemed incredibly exotic for a 6 or 7 year old.
Yeah.
But it's just got such a wonderful beat and just a kind of real urgency about it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess I over the years got a bit snobby about, you know, like Rolling Stones taking, you know, ripping off old blues tunes and, you know, and going, you really must listen to the original stuff. But actually, I've been listening to some of those early Rolling Stones things, and they're really pretty good.
They're fantastic.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then when they found their own, you know, like that around that era, you know, Painted Black really was their kind of, that's when they started playing their own stuff and just moving away from just covering early blues songs. And that's when I think they really were at their height, definitely.
And they're still going for it as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Just. Fair play, though.
Yeah, fair play. So what we got next on the list?
Well, next I thought we'd have something to remind me of Brussels days, because obviously with the European Parliament I spent quite a lot of time in Brussels.
Yeah.
People are often very rude and say, well, you know, who's famous from Belgium? And well, I know somebody who's famous from Belgium, which is Jack Brel.
Yeah.
And the Makipa from Jack Brel is just, you know, it's a really haunting song. And for me, it just reminds me of sort of Sunday mornings in Brussels, late start, you know, coffee, and then wandering down to the Grand Place and hearing people playing accordions. And then sometimes you hear this wafting out of rooms as well. So it's, yeah, it's got a nice feel about it.
So how much time do you spend in Brussels?
It's about half and half time in Brussels, half time in Brighton, which is which is quite exhausting. Thank goodness the Eurostar is there. Fortunately now, of course, it comes into King's Cross, St Pancras, and you can get the, when it's running, you can get the First Capital Connect down to Brighton, so at least it's all in one station. But I can more or less do that journey now in my sleep, I must say, because it's one I do very often.
One of the things that I've sort of was quite interested in is that when I was at a Friends of the Earth meeting, they had a lady there saying that we really do need to get involved in lobbying in Brussels, because she said there's something like 2,000 lobbyists and only about 12 of them are environmentalists.
That's just about the right kind of ratio. I think the figures are probably even higher of the corporate lobbyists, but the proportion is still much the same, and it's really quite shocking just to see how much money and commitment the corporate lobbyists are putting into trying to change policies in Brussels. And we've been fighting to try to make the whole thing far more transparent. And just a very basic thing we wanted was to have a mandatory register of all lobbyists. So if you were coming to the Parliament, then you should write down who you're going to see and what you're trying to achieve and so forth. And we didn't even get enough support for that. So it's a voluntary register. And, of course, almost by definition, if it's a voluntary register, then it's not really worth the paper it's written on.
I mean, that was something that really struck me, was that lobbyists aren't compelled to say who they are, who they're seeing. And so...
It's shocking. And they have such access as well. I mean, as a sort of democratically elected MEP, there I am trying to input into the shaping of laws and so forth. And I remember one time when I was the lead person in the Parliament on a piece of legislation, and the Commission, in other words, the sort of the civil service of the EU, were having a key meeting on that same subject. And the only reason I found out about it was because a lobbyist was going there. I found out about it through them, so I phoned up the Commission and said, well, as the elected representative kind of guiding this piece of legislation through the Parliament, please may I come too? And they eventually, you know, it kind of really put the cat among the pigeons, and eventually about an hour later they called me back and said, well, the compromise is you can come but you can't speak. And I just thought, wait a minute, this place is stuffed full of corporate lobbyists representing nothing but their own interests. And as an elected person, I'm not even allowed to speak. So it is pretty shocking, actually.
Glad you're there.
Thank you.
You can't speak.
Yeah. I shout from outside.
Well done. They drag you from the hall screaming, kicking.
So Jack Brel.
Yeah,
let's listen. We were trying to pronounce it before we got here, actually.
You're doing pretty well, Jack Brel. It's cool.
Yeah.
And the track is called?
Ne me quitte pas. Don't leave me.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Ne me quitte pas. Il faut oublier, tout peut s'oublier, qui s'enfuit déjà. Oublier le temps des malentendus et le temps perdu, à savoir comment. Oublier ces heures qui tuaient parfois à coup de pourquoi, le cœur du bonheur. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Moi, je t'offrirai des perles de pluie venues de pays où il ne pleut pas. Je creuserai la terre jusqu'après ma mort pour couvrir ton corps d'or et de lumière. Je ferai un domaine où l'amour sera roi, où l'amour sera loi, où tu seras reine. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Ne me quitte pas, je t'inventerai des mots insensés que tu comprendras. Je te parlerai de ces amants-là qui ont vu deux fois leur cœur s'embraser. Je te raconterai l'histoire de ce roi mort de n'avoir pas pu te rencontrer. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. On a vu souvent rejaillir le feu de l'ancien volcan qu'on croyait trop vieux, Il est, paraît-il, des terres brûlées, donnant plus de blé qu'un meilleur avril. Et quand vient le soir, pour qu'un ciel flamboie, le rouge et le noir ne s'épousent-ils pas? Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Ne me quitte pas, je ne vais plus pleurer, je ne vais plus parler, je me cacherai là, à te regarder danser et sourire, et à t'écouter chanter et puis rire. Laisse-moi devenir l'ombre de ton ombre, l'ombre de ta main, l'ombre de ton chien. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas.
Okay, yeah, you're listening to Mr. and Mr. Finn on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and that was Jacques Brel. I'm not going to try and pronounce the track.
You've had it once.
Yeah, yeah, I've tried. It's that bad. So from Brussels to Brighton, yeah. I don't know where we're going to go.
Yeah, Brussels to Brighton. What's going to happen in Brighton?
Well, the great excitement in Brighton is that the Greens stand a real chance of getting our first MP elected here at the next election, which we're assuming will be in May, but who knows, it might be in March or whenever Gordon Brown decides to go.
Yeah.
But basically, the Green Party in Brighton has been going from strength to strength. We've now got more councillors, for example, in that Brighton Pavilion constituency than any of the other parties. And just this week, in fact, the bookies have had us there as favourites to win. So that's very exciting. And if we do, it would be the first Green MP in Westminster, so it would be about battering down those doors and letting in a breath of fresh air, I hope.
Yeah, oh, that's really excellent.
But it's hard for smaller parties, you know, because...
Well, I mean, I've seen you in two or three places in the last couple of weeks doing stuff, so, I mean, you're very busy and seemingly tireless on the case.
Well, I'm certainly dashing about the place, but it is about kind of keeping that momentum up and just getting across the message to people that we can win it. You know, I think lots of people know what we stand for. They know that we're about sort of fairness and social justice and the environment. But the big thing is, can you actually win it when it comes to the general election?
Sure.
And that is the most important message to get across, that our own electoral data and the way we've been doing in recent elections shows that we can. There are now some independent polls suggesting that we will as well.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think if it's going to happen anywhere, then Brighton would be a pretty good place for it to happen, because Brighton is full of people that I think, you know, want to do things a bit differently. That's part of the whole sort of culture of Brighton.
No, I mean, it's really exciting to see that well, as you say, it's that getting past that point where people think that it's not a wasted vote, or, you know, it's just making a stand, that actually this is a really distinct possibility that it could happen.
Exactly, and it would be just sort of catching up really with so many of our EU colleagues, because in most countries in the EU there are Greens in parliaments, if not in governments, or at least in the original 15 member states of the EU. And the reason that there are Greens elected there and not here is simply because they have a fairer voting system, have state funding for political parties and so forth. It's not because they're intrinsically any more green-minded than people are in this country. So, you know, I mean, I think, of course, as a small party, you'd expect me to complain about the voting system, but I do think it's a much bigger problem than just keeping out smaller parties. It is about making people feel disempowered, because in so many places, you know, it is very hard to persuade people there's a point to vote, because they know that there's, you know, the Conservatives, whoever, will get back in come what may.
Yeah.
And so having a fairer voting system, I think, would just re-engage a lot more people in the whole political process.
And it's also about choice. I mean, it just seems that, you know, both the major parties have become homogenised. They are, you know, very... You can't really
discern... That's a lovely phrase about putting a cigarette paper between
them.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say a fag paper between both of them, because it's the same thing. And they talk about the stuff that British people are really, you know, that they're really concerned about. And it's the same things every time. And
It's just what's going to sway those swing voters in that handful of constituencies, essentially, that are going to dictate the outcome of the next election under this first-past-the-post system. And, you know, I think when so many people feel disenfranchised, it's not surprising that the numbers of people going out to vote goes down, because they just don't feel that their vote counts. And so, you know, we do need to change the electoral system. But even under this appallingly undemocratic one this time, at least in Brighton, we really do have a chance of getting the Green elected.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems that the only real opportunity for us to vote with our feet is, you know, is going on marches and the like. And, you know, we've just had the Wave and the Climate Justice march in London, but you know, there was all those people that, you know, I mean, I was amongst the millions of people who marched against the Iraq war and didn't feel like anybody was really listening, and and that was a large proportion of, you know, a large number of people who really didn't get their voices heard.
Absolutely. I mean, it really does feel like the people at Westminster have more or less got, you know, big cloth plugs over their ears and they're not responsive and they're not listening. And I think it's about time they got shaken up a bit.
Yeah, definitely. Go shake them.
I'm the woman to do it.
Excellent. So we've got Killers, Romeo and Juliet. What's that about?
That's about my eldest son, Theo, who really likes them. And in fact, I first heard it because he had it on his iPod and very loudly. And it's just a great story, a great song, I think.
All right, let's listen to that.
Struck Romeo, seen the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. He finds the street light, he steps out of the shade, says something like, "You and me, babe, how about it?" Juliet says, "Hey, it's Romeo, you nearly gave me a heart attack." He's underneath the window, she's singing, "Hey, la, my boyfriend's back. You shouldn't come around here singing up at people like that. Anyway, what you gonna do about it?" Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start, and I bet that you exploded in my heart. And I forget, I forget song. When you gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong, Juliet? Come up on different streets, and both are streets of shame, both dirty, both mean. Yes, and the dream is just the same. Then I dream your dream for you, now your dream is real. How can you look at me as if I were just another one of your deals? You can fall for chains of silver, you can fall for chains of gold, you can fall for pretty strangers and the promises they hold. You promised me everything, you promised me thick and thin, yeah. Now you just say, "Oh, Romeo, yeah. You know, I used to have a scene with him." Juliet, when we made love, you used to cry. I said, "I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. And there's a place for us in all the movie song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong." Talk like the talk on the TV, and I can't do a love song like the way it's meant to be. I can't do everything, but I'll do anything for you. I can't do anything except be in love with you. is miss you and the way we used to be. And all I do is keep the beat and the band company. And all I do is kiss you through the bars of Orion. Juliet, I do the stars with you anytime. Juliet, when we made love, you used to cry. I said I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. And there's a place for us, you know the movie song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong. Struck Romeo, sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. You find a convenient street light, he steps out of the shade, says something like, you and me, babe, how about it?
So yeah, so we were talking about you getting into the Houses of Parliament, but I mean, people are going to be asking. I mean, I know we've got our eyes on Copenhagen at the moment, but I mean, there'll be the other questions about what does the Green Party, how does it cover the other aspects of the, you know, the policies that the other parties are bashing about.
Exactly. No, well, we do have policies on. Absolutely everything, even though the only thing that some people know us for is our environment policy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, for example, right now, when we've just had the pre-budget report and everyone's talking about slashing public spending, I mean, we're a more or less lone voice when it comes to the political parties, saying that actually right now is not the time to cut public spending, that you're more likely to tip into this so-called double-dip recession whatever, and that actually what we need to do is to keep people in work. I mean, it really surprises me that there's so much coverage of the public debt and so little coverage really of the thousands and thousands of people who are being made unemployed, particularly here in Brighton as well. I mean, we've had stories about Lloyds, about the university, about the council. So huge numbers of people being made unemployed here too. So the Greens are absolutely about investing in public services, about keeping privatisation out of public services, about addressing things like equality. And we're finding, in fact, more and more previously Labour voters are coming to us because they're fairly shocked that under Labour inequality has actually risen, not fallen. So that agenda around fairness, about jobs, about equality, about anti-discrimination, all of that is very much at the heart of Green policies as well.
And the thing that sort of, for me, is a real strong thing is that, you know, all of the main parties continue to talk about continued economic growth. And, you know, and whilst that's sort of trashing the planet, nobody seems to be making the connection. And so how does that sort of sit with you?
You're right that it does seem to be madness, really, to think that on a planet of finite resources and on a finite planet, the idea that we can just go on growing and growing ad infinitum is pretty crazy. And what worries me in particular is when people are talking now about the financial crisis, what you hear so many politicians say is that we've got to get back to business as usual, as if business as usual was a great place to be. Business as usual got us into this mess. And one of the tragedies really is that there really could have been a moment, I think, where we could have perhaps stood back from the crisis that we're in and said, well, let's look again at what kind of economic system we want. You know, what are the goals of our economic system? Because to have growth as a goal in itself is just silly. I mean, there's plenty of research that shows that even though gross domestic product has doubled in the last 30 years, people aren't, you know, twice as happy or they don't feel twice as confident about their lives or their future for their kids or whatever. So this could have been a real moment, I think, to have looked again at that dogmatic assumption that we want more and more economic growth. And they've wasted it. They're now back to business as usual, which is worrying.
And it seems to me that the idea that this kind of mantra that, you know, business knows best, and therefore we need to introduce business policies, you know, into every walk of life, and that, you know, that everything becomes a market.
Yeah.
And when the market has fallen apart, there doesn't seem to be any kind of retreat from the idea that we have to introduce sort of business into everything.
I mean, our capacity for failing to learn from history is extraordinary, really. And you're quite right. There are certain places where we don't want market values, and you know, public services, I think, are one of them. Certainly, health. Mm. So you're right. We need to learn from that and not assume that business always knows best. Because if the last 12 months has taught us anything, it ought to be that that's not always the case.
Yeah. No, it's been really great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
It's been fun. To talk about your music. And we're playing out on Hallelujah. So what does that mean to you?
Well, Katie Lang, I came to her quite late, actually. I feel I've missed out. But I love her music. I saw her play here a year or so back, and it was wonderful. And this song is just such a haunting song. It's beautiful.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for joining us once again.
And, thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck with the election.
Many thanks.
Yeah, cheers.
Secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight. Overthrew ya. Well, she tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and cut your hair. And from your lips she drew Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.